tribe of Judah. They ministered powerfully. Let's appreciate them. I know if we were to give you the microphone, it would be something else. But so they did it, and they did it gorgeously. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please help me to welcome the person next to you. Help me to welcome them. Tell them it's great to see them this morning. Also, equally let them know that they are blessed for sitting next to you. Because I am a blessed individual. And I'm contagious. So they have no choice. You have to be blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. What is faith doing this morning, brethren? Faith is coming into my heart, into my spirit, into my inner man. Faith is coming because I'm hearing the word of God. And so it will be for every one of us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to first of all thank everyone. Those for yesterday's program, A Woman of Influence, the Glory Summit. And we praise God for the success of that program. Go ahead, you can clap. God did wonderfully among us. God did magnificently. We invited, they came, and they not just only came, they brought their friends. They brought their friends' friends, and then they even sent word out, and they brought their sister-in-law and their brother-in-law, and then they even brought their grandchild. Yes, to Glory Summit. Praise the Lord. As we all know, Glory Summit is the ladies' flagship program in this great assembly. And by the special grace of God, it was a very powerful occasion. And the lady of God that came, she ministered powerfully. And the theme of that program, A Woman of Influence. Like I said, we were joined by friends and family. And those who had at the last minute also showed up. And God did marvelously among us. We're women after God's own heart. Those that desire for a closer walk. And with a determination to lead a fulfilled life. So I am grateful. I'm grateful to all those God used to impact our life yesterday. From the Bible reader, our sister Jimmy read. For those, the anchor person. It was a glorious occasion. Pastor Dr. Kemi Shoebo of the House of the Word, a God assembly in the city of Houston. Our ladies yesterday, we came to a realization that there's so many things God can say concerning an individual, because we found out that this lady, she's a trained pharmacist, she's a clinical researcher, she's a doctor as well. We later also found out that she owns her own business. She's a missionary as well. So there are so many diverse ways in which we were ministered to yesterday. And as a wife, as a grandmother, she spoke eloquently. And to that, I'm very grateful to God. Unbeknown to us yesterday as well, she invited a friend. And that friend happened to be Minister Stacy Egbo. So as we were told yesterday, we didn't order it. We did not buy any concert ticket, but she gave us, I think, a little bit of taste of her ministry. And just as it's always it on this altar, people just come and they say stuff. And some of the stuff she said yesterday was that she promised to come back next year to one of our harvests of praise, to which we held her to and say we have this on recording. Praise the Lord. Not to leave out others, my girl here also ministered to us. My sweet girl there, Miss Alfrey, she gave us a rendition. Thank you. I know it's a great ask for those who are in your industry to come on Saturdays, but I really, really appreciate that. Thank you very well. And we also text The men's fellowship were not left out. They were represented ably by our brother Alukodesh. He was in and out. Thank you so much. You made the occasion great, particularly when we did not even realize that Minister Stacy was coming. But he, brother Aluko, showed up for us very big. So what was yesterday about? Yesterday was just more than a talk show or a chat show. It was about women coming together, saying we need a support network that will not, no individual know it all. It was a group of women saying we need a closer work, that there's much more to us than just mother daycare, motherhood, you know, or like I chose to, some of us have been boxed in into the ministry of hospitality. But that there's so many things that we discover that women are actually crucial in religious organizations. Could it be that is why God orchestrated that women forms the majority? In any program or event of any religious organizations that you go, you find women in the majority. That majority, if harnessed, supposed to wield influence. That majority, if properly harnessed, brought together, is supposed to wield influence. That influence, based on our understanding of God's purpose for humanity, is supposed to be positive influence. So therefore, we question ourselves, why is this not the case? But when we look into the Bible, because before Saturday, by God's grace, women on the Women Forum started discussing and teaching and ministering to one another from the book of Acts chapter 16, talking about the life of Lydia and what she came and her impact on her environment. She was influential not because she got pregnant and have a baby. That wasn't it. She was influential because she was able to apply her God-given resources within the umbrella of God, within a religious organization, within her immediate vicinity. All of this we learned before we came here on Saturday. And for those who have not been reading those postings, please help yourself to it. You know, copy and paste on your Word document and you will soon discover there's a lot of lessons to be learned. So we already knew who Lydia was before we came. But by God's grace, Sister Folke spoke eloquently to us that those knowledge, those principles are things that we need to take from that environment and equally apply in our social environment. We should not live our life in silos, meaning you're already disciplined. You're already God-fearing. You already know the do's and don'ts of God. That do's and don'ts walk with you into your classrooms. They go with you to your to your workspace. They go with you to your travels. And by so doing, for instance, she gave us a very graphical example that impresses even our speaker yesterday. Going into a room full of men in a manly profession, how do you cower or do you exert your God-given influence? If you are the only dark-skinned person in an environment, do you hide it? Why do you hide it? She spoke to us at that length. And we see that when I now look at it in another dimension, I found out that the prayers we've been praying, and when God said, I set a table before you, in the presence of everybody, Everybody includes the enemy, includes the friendly enemy and the do-nots and don'ts. What do you do with that table? How do you exert your presence, your influence in that environment? Those are some of the things we discovered that perhaps our thinking have been warped. We have been doing it backwards. Just because you happen to be the only female doesn't mean you need to shrink, because that would be giving in to assumptions. Just because you are the only dark skin that has been invited, or you find out that you are the only dark skin in that boardroom, doesn't mean that you do not speak. If you have the opportunity created, made available for you to enter into a space as a child of God, you must accept that this is the ordination of God and the orchestration of God. And by so doing, you are ought to fulfill the mandate on your life. How else would the Bible refer to you as the light? How else would the Bible say, concerning you, I have great and new things that the hearts have not even begun to conceive what I will do? If you are not able to step into that space and own it, how do you expect to influence anyone? Least not those whom you've never come across. Those were the takeaways that we received yesterday. The watchword from yesterday is what? Winners don't quit. If you want to win, you've got to go through the gauntlet. If you want to win, you actually have to go through the gauntlet. You don't back down, you don't back out. The fact that you have the egg on your face doesn't mean you can't wipe it and say, do it again. Serve it to me one more time. Those are the one or two things, briefly, that we came across. But this morning, in the next 20 minutes, by God's grace, I intend to share concerning godly influence. Godly influence. And this is found in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 to 16. We're not going to read it because I believe the culture and the nature of this assembly is that you are a Berean Christian and you will read concerning the things of God. But in this particular chapter, let me just summarize to you. It's regarding Paul, Apostle Paul. And he wrote to his friends. It is in this particular chapter that you hear so many names that they will make you laugh. I'll read one or two verses. It says, our sister Phoebe, a deacon in the church, will be coming to see you soon. Receive her in the Lord as one that is worthy of high honor. Help her in every way you can, for she has helped many in their needs, including me. That's Paul talking. Let me read one more verse. Verse 3. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. They have been co-workers in the ministry for Christ Jesus. In fact, they risked their lives for me. I am not the only one who is thankful to them. So are all the Gentiles' churches. Paul, in this particular verse, he was greeting this one, he was greeting that one, he was greeting that. And I read and I was like, how amazing. He knows so many people. How did he come to know so many people? Because he is an influential man. He was an influential man. Remember the topic that I'm speaking on briefly? Godly influence. Influence is both a privilege and a responsibility. It has the power to affect someone else's life or persuade a person towards a particular course of action. That's a simple definition of influence. Influence can either be purposeful or passive, conscious or unconscious. It can also be negative. But whatever form the power of the influence stick, the most important factor is that they must be a godly one. The example Pastor Kemi used yesterday was, because she was speaking to ladies only, so most of her references was female based. She talked about Jezebel. Jezebel was a very influential woman, very powerful. When you actually look at that character, you will know, you just have to accept that women are very powerful. Our mothers often refer to women as the neck. Yeah, we give it to the guy, he's the head. Let's see where the neck goes with her. Okay, that's good. We're on the right page. So, Jezebel is powerful. She, whatever her husband owns, she has the access. She had assets. Women don't often own the liabilities of men, but we go for the assets. We also help you to open the mails so we have access to information. We also help you to remember where you kept it so we have access to your memory bank. That's how powerful women are. We help you to implement stuff so we have an understanding of your strategies because we help you to carry them out. But in the case of Jezebel, she wielded negatively. But the impact of her influence shows us how powerful and how valuable she was at her time. And so if you do a reverse psychology of that, you can simply see how powerful any ordinary woman can be. So human beings are powerful. They are influential. It is very important that this power of influence be godly. Be godly simply because God has a purpose why he has given you so much power. Now, if you determine not to use it, remember there comes a time that you'll show up in God's presence and he will have the opportunity to ask you. Today's Bible passage gives us an idea of how influential Apostle Paul was in his era. Scholars told us that except for Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul is considered and recognized as the most significant influential figure and contributor to the Christian faith and to the Christian church at large. Why? He wrote books. He wrote 13 out of the 27 books in the New Testament. He mentored people like Timothy and Silas. And Luke, his beloved physician. He did not ignore people around him. Paul did not live a selfless life. He saw that whatever happens to him impacts his environment. He was a man determined to be the best of himself. Chosen by God to be a vessel to the Gentiles, Paul's writings and teaching encouraged the early church and taught them how to live a God-centered life in a pagan world. Does that sound similar to this era? But Paul has walked and talked the talk. Paul went on missionary journeys that carried and spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ across many continents. Despite the trials and tribulations that Paul endured during his lifetime, he accomplished the mission God has sent to him. If you and I are to get my notes and just put our names where I mentioned Paul, you might say to yourself, okay, hold on, miss. I haven't written a book, so I can't be influential. I haven't gone on missionary journey. Like, you know, Pastor Kemi was saying yesterday, they've gone to this, they've gone to that. So that doesn't apply to me. But that's not true. Everyone God has created is influential. You hold a position. You are shoulder and head above somebody. That means you are influential. And the way she went, to demonstrate it to us yesterday was, are you a father? Are you a mother? Are you a sister? Are you a brother? And the minimal role of us is, are you a worker? Are you a child of somebody? Then you are influencing somebody. But some people are given to have impact, to be influential. Once you are a parent, you are God-ordained influencer. Once you are a teacher, you have the additional responsibility of being an influencer. Once you are, you hold a social media goalpost, you are automatically an influencer. So, check yourself. Don't belittle yourself. You are already an influencer. Can you help me to tell your neighbor, if they don't already accept, you are already an influencer? Also, let them know there's no certificate that is going to say, but tell them you are already an influencer. We are all in this college of influencing. I dare say there's many levels to it. Paul let us know that. He has a relationship with Timothy. He mentored Timothy. He talks to Timothy about his roles, about how he needed to do this teaching in his classes, how he needs to lead the men and the elderly, how he needs to instruct the elderly women in his local parishes, that the things they must do. He was empowering knowledge and impacting. Timothy was not born with that knowledge. Somebody impacted life unto him. Daniel is another great example. A very influential person. There's so many examples. The three Hebrew boys, the example of those who wield godly influence. During Daniel's lifetime, Daniel was a godly influence to his friends, to the king's servants, even to the Babylonians. He was an influence. And we will soon discover the same thing happened to Paul as well. This morning, I want to focus on about 6 points, and I should be done, because I'm very watchful of time, particularly today. I want to be given another opportunity to come back and minister, so I'd like to behave. Praise the Lord. Pastor Kemi gave us 5 points yesterday. Well, the one I noted down. That's as she spoke on the life of Lydia and the impact. You want to be influential. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to have intimacy with God. You can't do it by yourself. Flesh only minister to flesh. You can't minister to another flesh. They already have their own flesh. And too much flesh is overdose. So there's no need. So flesh doesn't minister to flesh. To influence others, you need to have intimacy with God. To be able to influence others, you have to be able to add value. Value brings influence. If all you and I do is talk on the phone, I put the phone down, that's the end of it, there's no influence. If all I do is, you borrow me money, I borrow you money. Hey, the day I give you back your money, your influence is zero. I move on. End of story. You have to add value to others. Lydia had value to those around her. The ability to add value to others means that you must do something with your life. Your life must speak to others. It means when I interact with you, you impact me in such a way that I said, I'm going to listen to him. He has the goods. You must be able to add value. You must have certain things that speaks uniquely about you. competencies, decisiveness. One other thing that she mentioned was you must have endurance to run the race. Winners don't quit. I say all of this because as parents, we are already influencing our children, whether we know it or not. And we must have clear cuts about certain things. Because if we don't have clarity, then they will be conflicted about the things that matters in life. The five things that you and I ought to do is to be prayerful, to be faithful in whatever God asks us to do. And don't procrastinate. You have to take action. Don't have, I will come back to this thing, I will deal with it later. That's not good enough. That's not good enough for the you, the inner you that ought to be influential. It's very, very important. What are the requirements of a godly influence? What are the requirements? And those are the 6 points, and we'll round up. You must have strong conviction about God's word. You must believe what the Bible says it is, it is. Paul's strong conviction came from the scriptures. It wasn't from his mental head. It wasn't from his head. He didn't do head knowledge. After his conversion, the Bible tells us that he went into the wilderness. He studied. He chewed the word of God. And he had many encounters with Christ. To the extent that he was able to say confidently, I have met Christ. For godly influence, for you to have godly influence, you must have strong conviction about God's word. Your name must, God's no must be your no. God's yes must be your yes. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 and 13, it says, when Peter came to Antioch, this is Paul writing, he said, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he refused to eat with them. Paul believed what he believes. That once you are a new creature in Christ, all things have passed away and that you have accepted Christ. What Peter was doing was, as soon as brethren from Jerusalem came to town, he dumped the Gentiles. He was practicing hypocrisy. And Paul was not having none of that. Because Paul believed that once these people had given up their life and said, Christ is my Savior, they are a new creature. They are not second-class citizens. Paul has a very strong conviction about the word of God. If the word of God says, thou shalt not steal, he believed that to the latter. And he held to his conviction and he sought to obey the scripture. And God gave him favor with the officials. And on his missionary journeys, the many trips that he went, many other disciples couldn't do it. But God continued to grant him favor. A conviction is something we believe because we are convinced and persuaded that it is true. And that's how we should feel about God's word. It is infallible. And it contains the principles by which we are to live and by which we will be judged by God. If we don't hold fast to this principle, brethren, we'll just be tossing here and there. And we'll have difficulty making decisions based on our preference rather than the scriptures as we ought to. Moving on speedily. The next point there, requirements for a godly influence. There are 6 points, and I'm looking at the time. You have to be confident in the word of God. Confident in God. Have confidence in God. If God says, I am with you to the end of time, believe he's with you. Whether you see him or not, believe he's with you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2, he says, we can say with confidence and with clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity. When you sleep or they wake you from the dream, you ought to be confident of God, of what God is, who is to you. In that same verse, Paul says, we have depended on God's grace, not on our own. He was spewing it that, I know this, I know this, I know this God, I know God is with me in all situations. We must be convinced, not only that the Bible is true, but that God himself is trustworthy. He makes in his word, he will fulfill it. Whatever God says concerning me, he will fulfill it. Thirdly, there's, it says, confidence in the word of God. I've done that, so let's move on. To be a godly influence, we must have unshakable faith. Unshakable faith is necessary and is important. Because if you don't, you can be easily persuaded. Fourthly, we have to have a calm spirit under any situation. Your spirit must be calm. When our convictions are challenged, we must keep our focus on the Lord. If we don't, we will become anxious and frustrated, fearful and shaken, and there will be high possibility that you will change your mind. You are a human being, you will tell yourself. You are a human being. We live for tomorrow, but we sin today, huh? No, we don't. God is sovereign over everything in heaven and on earth. And he promised to take care of you. He will take care of you. If God says he will work things out, that all things will work out for good, according in Romans 8:28, it is true, it will, but you need to remain calm. The three Hebrew boys told the king, hey, sir, we're not rude though, but we're not banging down. Hope I'm not insulting you, but I'm not going to do that thing. What did they just do? They just insulted the guy. But they still didn't do it. Requirements for a godly influence. A Christ-like spirit. You must have a Christ-like spirit. Let this mind, the same mind as Christ, be in me. You must be forgiven. Christ forgives. You must be loving unconditionally. You must be able to serve others without demanding a return match. You must be able to share in their burden. And you must be able to accept that there will be a time of trial. There will be a time that requires peace and quietness. Lastly, I want to talk about a consistent walk. Pastor Kemi talked about this eloquently yesterday. Persistence, that's the word she used. But this morning, I just replaced it with a consistent walk. Throughout the life of Paul, he was consistent in his walk with God. The minute he said bye-bye to the world of heresy, to being a Pharisee, and being part of a club of the scribes. He didn't proclaim one thing and do another thing, but he lived a life of integrity. Every person that will be influential, that wants to have godly influence, you must do what you say you are doing. Not say one thing and do another thing. Paul is uncompromising. And he earned the respect of everybody around him, even up to the presence of the emperor. Because he said, what I said in that town, that's what I'm going to say again when they get me to Rome. And he said it. And he said, I said it. Christ is Lord. You can't take that from me. Let your yes be yes. Be a person of integrity. Be uncompromising so that you, people know what you stand for. So that those around you, those you are mentoring, they won't be conflicted in the spirit that, what did Oga just say? I don't even know. Are we to interpret it now? Is it that every time that you say something, somebody else, you have to come out and say, actually, this is what he meant. This is what he meant. That's not what he said. I remember a president that they used to say that about. He would say something 1 minute and his advisors and his aides will now go back and said, actually, this is what he meant to say. That is not somebody that is consistent. Paul is an example every believer should follow. The consistency of holding to our conviction and walking in obedience to God is what makes our influence godly and effective. You may not have the scope of influence that Paul had, but you are influencing somebody. Either good or bad, whether you know it or not, your reflection, your opinion, your attitude, your dealings is impacting someone. Are you convinced that the Bible is true and that God is to be trusted? Does your actions and your attitude support your claim, what you are saying? How do you usually respond when your convictions are challenged? Do you back down? Do you change your mind? What can you learn from the life of Paul? I am very convinced, and I'll share this with you. You have no idea the numbers of people that God may want to influence through you. That's the truth. You and I don't know how many people God wants to use you to influence. But unless you have a consistent walk with God, God does not have a chance for that to materialize. You yourself, by your inconsistency, your ability not to take precise decision, you are closing the door of that influence. And it is important for you to know that as much as possible, people to believe you, as many as possible for people to believe you, the company you keep matters. Because it impacts what people see about you and the choices they make. In closing, brethren, you're already influential. No doubt about it. How much influence do you want God to use you? Let's bow our hearts. I want you to speak to God this morning. I want you to begin to talk to God. Tell God, I believe what the Bible says about me. I believe that I am a true child of God. I believe that you can use anybody and you will use me too. Ask the Almighty God to show you those areas of opportunities to influence others that you have missed. Tell God this morning, I repent of my ways. I repent of my misunderstandings of my status. I repent of my belittling myself. And I tap into this grace of godly influence. It's a powerful influence. The one that God has given you, not only at your original birth, but when you gave your life to Christ, you are an influencer. We're to go into the world and influence. You are to go into the world and win souls. Not just by preaching alone, by our attitude and by our action. Tell it to God this morning. I have had this word. It will not stand against me on the judgment day. I have had this word. I will do right by you, God. As you walk through me and open those doors, Father, I will step through it boldly. Paul said, I go to Rome. Yes, you too, you will begin to go to places. Places. Doors that is open unto you. Effective doors of elevation. Platform. Minister Stacy said yesterday of our MC here that when she's a convener of Just Do It program, that this is where people come and they get elevated. That is a platform that has been opened. Somebody came and saw something. How would you wield that influence? Father, we thank you. Eternal Rock of Ages, we bless your holy name. Lord, this morning, we ask for your mercy. We ask that you be merciful unto us. We ask, O Lord, that henceforth going forward, in all the areas of our lives, Father God, the grace for godly influence, to have godly impact, Father, grant unto us in the mighty name of Jesus. Every of this opening, Almighty God, we will not quit and we will not go back in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we press forward under this great anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. So it is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen. Still into the attitude of prayer. Can we clap hands for Jesus? If we are clapping, let's clap properly for Jesus. Not for Pastor Shade, but unto Jesus. And while we are still in the attitude of prayer, can we stretch forth our hands to our mommy to bless our back as we rise up on our feet? Let's stretch forth our hands. Let's bless her. Let's say unto the Lord that for every virtue that have gone out from her, that God should replenish back. As her desire, as she aspires to continually be a woman of influence, because she's already an influence unto us. May her light never go in. May her vision, may she continue to run with a godly vision. She said this morning, the most important influence is a godly influence. Father, may it continually be a godly influence unto us, unto our generation, even to generation to come, into our family, among our friends, in our workplace, in our environment, in the mighty name of Jesus. She will not fail. She will not falter. She will run the race of grace, of faith, to end successfully in the mighty name of Jesus. Alongside with her husband, they will receive great reward from the Lord Almighty in the mighty name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And we'll say better amen. Can we have our seat briefly? I don't know. Can we just smile wherever we are? We are a bit too serious this morning. Please, in the presence of God, there is fullness of God. Please, let us smile. Let's look to our neighbor. Let's smile. Relax. God got us in control. Yes, relax. It's not that deep. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It is offering time. It is offering time. As we all know, this is a period to return back to God out of the abundance he has blessed us with. So this is the time to give our tithe and to also give our offering. Like we all know, we have three means of giving. We have through our envelope, we have our cash app, and we have our Zelle. We have the Zelle app number is 832-916-9000. And also the cash app number 2 is on our Zelle, which is $RCCG9894. Please, as if you are using envelope, let's package our offering into our envelope properly. And we are also, if you are using the church app on our phone, I believe we have all logged in and we have sent it, right? And I believe God will bless us in Jesus' name. In as we have done this, can we all rise up on our feet? as we take the declaration together. Seed of kingdom advancement, I command bountiful harvest. I cripple every waster. I decree favor for better jobs and business. I download creative concepts, ideas, and insights. I command raises, promotions, commissions, and bonuses. I decree favorable settlements, breakthrough, and compensations. I command miracle money, supernatural supplies, debt elimination, peace and prosperity in Jesus' name. So shall it be. Let's give our offering with our dance and smile. Please, the Lord accept us in Jesus' name.
Let's give our dance offering.